Advertising Week Social Club. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Doug Zanger out in sunny, and that is, of course, in air quotes, Portland, Oregon. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your support of the Advertising Week Social Club. Big news coming up for us. We are going to have our own site, and it will be happening in March. We'll get you more details if you follow us on the Twitter that all the kids enjoy, at Advertise. I think it's at Advertising Week. So it's, you're saying two ads really quickly. So at Advertising Week. One of the great things about what we get to do is that we get to interview very interesting people. And we have some colleagues in San Francisco that we do some work with, and they say, hey, you should talk to Franny Danziger, Director of Marketplace Development for Bizzo, joining us on the phone today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Doug.
So let's start with, I like to go back a little bit, because I often find that when I work with students, talk with students, and then conversely talk with professionals who have been in the business for a while, there's always seems to be an interesting thread about the college experience. So when you were in college at Indiana University, did you anticipate that you would get into this really amazing career in media?
Well, I'm actually going to take one step in reverse there, because as weird as it might seem now, but since high school, I always knew that working in the advertising field was my passion.
Really?
So, really, you know, at that time, I didn't know the actual path that I would take or the function that would really hit home with me, and that really came to fruition within my first year of college at IU. Mm-hmm. So, when I was there, I had an incredible experience, and I met a professor. His name was Dr. Walter Gantz, and he was my advertising professor, and there have been three people in my career who have really been profound and have guided me. And he was the first one who I've met and who I'm still in touch with to this day, 20 some odd years later. But I truly was just obsessed with his teaching every day. I just wanted more and more. I would sit in his office in the corner of his building, and I would just sit on the floor, and around me were boxes of Ad Age magazines that were old and dated. And I would sit there every day and literally flip through them cover to cover. I was obsessed with the information. And then he had the original red books in his office. So mm-hmm. today, I think they're all digital. I don't even think there's printed copies. But I would sit and I would flip through red books, page after page after page. And I just fell in love with everything that I learned, everything that I saw, and I just wanted more and more. So, you know, I guess people would call me a doer in life. I don't like to sit still. I have energy that never ends, and I've always set the bar really high. And I just try to learn every day how I can be better than I was yesterday. So, you know, when I started out in college and looked at what was ahead of me, I knew that something connected inside when it had to do with advertising and marketing, and I just knew that was the direction that I was going to go.
That's very cool. So let's talk about your first year in the industry. And I don't want you necessarily to speak to what you were doing, but more along the lines of, what did you learn in your first year that you believe is informing your work today?
So this is also kind of funny. I had lunch last week with a colleague in New York that we've both been in the business a long time, and we were kind of rehashing some old stories of what happened when we were first in the business. So I'm going to tell you a story of something that occurred my first year in the business. Mm-hmm. So first, just to, again, taking a step back, when I graduated from IU, I had my heart set working for Leo Burnett. And at the time, Leo Burnett took an incoming freshman class into their media department every year, and there was down to two people, between me and one other classmate. And I interviewed 3, 4, 5 times, finally got a call from John Musinski to say, we're giving the job to the other person, but I know that you're going to go far in this business. They had a higher GPA than I did. Mm. And, you know, I just kind of took that and thought, this is ridiculous. And he said to me, well, I kind of agree with that. It's a group decision. Keep in touch. So I came to Cleveland. I was very disappointed, but wasn't going to let it stop me. So now he was the second person, most influential person in my career, because I was always setting out to prove to him how successful I would be eventually and that he had made a mistake. Mm-hmm. So moved back to Cleveland where my parents were at the time, and there were no advertising jobs in Cleveland. It was a really hard market to get into. So the one big agency here in Cleveland was Wise Advertising. I went there, met with their director of media, and she said, you know, we have no positions at this time. And so I, you know, pleaded with her why it was important for me to start, and so she allowed me to have an internship for 3 months. So I got my foot in the door. It was probably one of my greatest lessons, just at that very moment, to know that even when someone's saying no to you, you keep pushing ahead, obviously within the confines of not making a fool of yourself, but
right.
you know what you believe in, right?
Right.
And you can stand up for what you believe in. Someone's going to listen to you. So don't ever be turned away and just accept the answers that are given to you.
Mm-hmm.
So started an internship, worked for 3 months, and then when my internship ended, I was offered a position as an assistant media planner. Worked with the third most influential person in my career, whose name is Linda Bremkamp. She was my mentor. She was fabulous. So what happened in my first 6 months is I'm into media planning, and now I've been there already 3 months. So when I started as an assistant, it was like I knew what I was doing, and I was given work. So I was given the assignment of doing a media plan for Penton Publishing, who was in Cleveland as well.
Mm-hmm.
Had everything done, had the plan put together, felt really excited about it, was going to give my first presentation at Penton, and I felt like I was on top of the world. So Linda was there. Carl Marino, if that name rings a bell, was there, and we're having lunch, we're all talking, everything's great. Lunch ends, I get up, I go up to the podium to start my presentation, I froze. Like I had marbles in my mouth. I couldn't speak.
Wow.
And Linda's looking at me, are you okay? And I thought I was going to pass out. And, you know, I'd been in front of audiences before. I teach fitness, so I'm on a microphone in front of people. I was so embarrassed, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't even get out the words out of my mouth to say I couldn't speak. I just couldn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
So Linda comes up, and she escorts me off the podium. We sit down. She gave me a glass of water. And after I kind of collected myself, I never got back up on the podium. We just did the presentation sitting around the table. So I was able to tell them all the information, and that was that.
Right.
So that was my first real presentation. And after that moment, it truly humbled me into realizing that, you know, you're not queen of the mountain. You're a peon. You have a lot to learn in this life ahead of you, and you need to learn from all the people around you. And never, ever have I ever taken any situation for granted, no matter how well-prepared I feel or how ill-prepared I feel for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I practice, I rehearse in front of a mirror, in front of an audience, in front of a video camera, every single time. And now, you know, 23 years later from that first presentation, public speaking is one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not afraid to tell that story. And every young person that I've personally mentored, which I've mentored a lot of young media folks, I've told that story to, because people don't realize how scary that situation can be.
Oh, yeah. And I think working with students, we work with quite a few students. I think that you're right, there's the exuberance and the confidence. And then when it does come to game time, it is just a slightly different shade of opportunity. And it's different. It's hard to explain if you haven't been there. But I think more often than not, people have been there. And I think that's very cool. And I think the humility side of it goes a long way, because the reason we ask that question, by the way, is just we always like to get some context into people's first year, because the fact of the matter is that those of us who have been in our careers for a while, people look at us and say, oh, you're this, you're this, you're this. But we mm-hmm. all have stories like that. We all have that first year where we just kind of think to ourselves, huh, I wonder where this is going to go. For mm-hmm. me, it was midnight to 6 a.m. on the weekends at a radio station. Little did I know that I would have a very good, strong, long career in radio. And just, I think that's great. And I appreciate you sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about your move over to Bizzo. You've been on the agency side for so long, but what motivated you to make the change over to Bizzo?
Well, there was a lot that motivated me to make the change, and I think part of it was that I had been on the agency side for so long, and I really felt, I didn't feel by any means that I was getting stale in what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
but I felt that I was getting more and more excited about different facets of my career and different facets of media. And at the same time, personally, I have 3 teenage children, and my responsibility was a global responsibility, and I spent more nights away from home than I did spend at home.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things coupled together made me feel like this was a good time in my life to make a change. And sometimes change is very scary. You always hear that change is good, but until you actually make that step and make that change, it's a scary proposition that you face sometimes. Mm-hmm. And this change has been great for me. It definitely has been life-altering in a very positive way. Being at Bizzo now is different in many, many ways than it was being on the agency side, mm-hmm. But all in very good ways.
Now, just on your gut, I mean, it was, you know, what about the company made you, and I'm saying more like gut and heart, but just what in your mm-hmm. gut and in your heart made you make the change?
Well, I'll tell you, there's two answers to that, and they really run parallel. So the first is I truly love the culture and the people that are at Bizzo. And I worked with the people at Bizzo while I was on the agency side and got to know them, you know, pretty intimately from a professional perspective. And just every time I would walk away from a meeting or a conversation, I would have this constant smile on my face and in my heart. And I thought, wow, these people are smart and they just are such good people that to me, that's how I feel like I am as a person. And I just thought this just feels so right. So that was the first thing. And then secondly, I have this obsession, I guess I can call it, with data, not only just with the data in its pure form, but really making sense of it and then being able to use data with a strategic vision that can help marketers succeed in this environment that we're in, which is so fast-moving, so highly competitive,
yeah.
and so driven by data. So here I found myself in a place where I could, you know, quench that thirst that I have for data and making sense of it and using it and get to work with really great people. So that's really what helped me to make that decision.
In looking at our list of questions here, I really want to combine the next three because, you know, we at Advertising Week, we're in the B2B space. It's B2B communication is just, it changes daily. And there are just some built-in opportunities communicating to a B2B audience. What do you think some of those opportunities are and why should people be excited about it?
Well, I think one of the things that's ironic is this business audience that's out there, they're really made up of the most affluent, educated consumers in our marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all marketers, this is the audience that they want to reach. They just don't know that this is who they want to reach. So there's kind of some irony in there. B2B excites me because it's really challenging from a marketing perspective because you can create successful solutions, but you really have to think pretty deeply to be creative. And it also requires a lot of collaboration. It's not something where you can just, you know, set your sights on an end result and just go. There's so many different variables and so many different points of influence that really factor into being successful in a business-to-business environment.
Well, and we are a type of audience that is skeptical, but if we like you, we charge hard, right?
Right, exactly. And you know, that's another thing that's unique too is the business audience, the business to business audience, they're people, right? So this audience is made up of humans, and so these humans are not just cut and dry, it's either A or B.
Right.
There's so many factors that are influential and that are quite emotional in decision making. Mm-hmm. So I've really always believed if you're selling a product or service or you're marketing a product or service, clearly you need to have a product or service that has strong foundation and is credible and all of those things are a given. But in order to really differentiate that product or that service in the marketplace, you have to think about the heart that's behind it and what that emotional connection is with the audience that you're trying to impact.
What are maybe one or two things that agencies and brands should know about the business audience that they might not know? Like, you know, it's like we go on some preconceived ideas and notions. I think you might've touched on it a little mm-hmm. bit, but maybe taking it one step further, what's like that one or two ahas that people should know?
Well, I really think one I just touched on,
right.
But I think that agencies and brands sometimes overcomplicate process and the information that's all required to impact this business audience. And again, I think that really goes back to what I was saying about this emotional response, because this business audience is made up of people who have basic needs and wants, right? And they're all driven by a deep emotional connection. So, you know, like I was saying, it's critically important that you have a foundationally sound product or service, but it is equally that important that the audience feels this emotional connection. And that is what really helps to accelerate success and impact the business audience.
I want to talk about, you've touched on outside of work a little bit, but you've been a personal trainer for quite a while.
I have been. So I am a personal trainer and a group fitness instructor and have done so since college. I actually have a website, and I teach group fitness for a few gyms in town.
Well, come on, shameless promotion. Tell us the website. Come on, shameless promotion.
Okay, it's feelingalive.com. It's no G. It's FEELINALIVE.com.
Right. There you go.
And if you go to my website, you will see, and I think it's like the third or fourth tab over in the scroll bar, that I teach for resorts around the world.
Awesome.
I usually... Yeah, now that I have three teenage children, my travel and work full time, my travel is a little more limited, but usually spring break, winter break, I teach at these great resorts. I just came back. I was in Curacao for 2 weeks teaching group fitness. And end of March, I'm heading to Punta Cana for a week. And so on my website, I have all this information.
It's Franny's training tour. You should get T-shirts made up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have some T-shirts and water bottles. So it's fantastic. And I have three teenage kids. I have two daughters, one that's 11, one that's 14, and a son in the middle who's 13.
Uh-huh.
They're all into fitness. They all love when we travel on these trips. They try to help me teach classes.
Right.
And I have a husband who I've been married for over 17 years, and he just looks at me and shakes his head most of the time and really supports all of my personal and professional obsessions, because I have a lot of them.
I have a wife who probably would be sympathetic to that as well. I think you and I are simpatico in that respect. So, Franny, I really appreciate you taking the time. Franny Danzinger, Director of Marketplace Development for Bizo, and it's BIZO.com. Very interesting company. Very interesting stuff going on there. Want to thank you very much for taking the time and joining us, and we wish you the very best moving forward.
Thank you so much.